VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Thank you for joining us today here on Crosstalk on the VCY America Network. None of us will ever forget this term coronavirus or COVID-19. We've seen actions taken not only in our country, but all over the world that has stopped commerce, stopped sports, shut down transportation, shut down entertainment venues, closed schools, shuttered businesses, even closed the doors of churches. States and countries are at various levels of reopening, and for others, the restrictions are still quite onerous. Have you considered how this outbreak of the novel coronavirus points to the vivid end-time biblical prophecies about plagues, about pandemics, and even about global upheaval? According to our guest today, this new coronavirus is not the fulfillment of these events that will occur during the tribulation time, but a foreshadowing of that which is to come. Joining us today, we welcome Dr. Mark Hitchcock, who is a senior pastor of Faith Bible Church in Edmond, Oklahoma. He's the author of more than 30 books related to Bible prophecy, including the newly released Showdown with Iran and another newly released book that we're discussing today, Corona Crisis, Plagues, Pandemics, and the Coming Apocalypse. Dr. Hitchcock, good to have you with us here on Crosstalk.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
You were on not long ago with Brandon House, whose program precedes Crosstalk, but we wanted to bring you back here to talk about this important topic. You were actually leading a trip to Israel when COVID-19 really hit the U.S. Describe that experience for us.
Yes, we left on February 28th, my wife and I, to go over to Israel to get there a couple of days, about 3 days before the rest of the group would arrive. And, you know, COVID was kind of going a little bit there in February near the end of the month. And, you know, we knew what was happening there. So, anyway, we're on our trip to Israel. And, you know, if you've been on an Israel trip, you know, you're kind of in a little bit of a bubble when you're there. You're a little bit insulated. And so we'd watch the news, though, at night and kind of find out about things, you know, hear about things going on. Well, it really got ramped up near the end of our trip. A lot of people had difficulty getting their flights altered to get back home. And we were some of the last people to get out of Israel, really, at that time. The city of Jerusalem was just empty the last couple of days we were there. And we came back, and my wife and I both commented how when we came back, it's like we came back to a different world. Mm. When we came back to a completely different world, I mean, it was bizarre. And I know we've all used these words and kind of worn them out, but surreal and unprecedented and strange and weird. I mean, we've kind of run out of adjectives, but certainly these are unprecedented times, and it was just surreal coming back to all of that. And of course, you know, we had to cancel services at church for a lot of weeks, or not cancel them, but go online. So it's just been, you know, kind of what everybody's experienced, when we came back, but it was a very, very strange experience. Nothing like I've ever experienced in my life.
Yeah. And you were actually visiting Armageddon as lockdowns were occurring. What was going through your mind at that time, looking at this Valley of Armageddon?
Well, yeah, we were there at Armageddon, and, you know, all this stuff's happening because, I mentioned that as we were there. And then when I got back to the States, I actually was online one day, and someone was kind of stating it kind of in a humorous way that now Armageddon is even closed down. So they closed Armageddon, and they were kind of, you know, making a point that, hey, when Armageddon's closed, you know, things have gotten bad. So, but, you know, anyway, no, it was a fascinating time to be over there in many ways, but it was a very... You know, it was difficult getting back, and boy, it's totally changed the world. It's something else.
I want to point out one more thing about your trip to Israel, and it was while you were waiting to board your flight from Tel Aviv to the U.S. You mentioned this in your book, but you met a person who said to you, I don't know what in the world is going on. I think the world is about to end. What was your reaction?
Well, yeah, my wife and I are standing there in line in Jerusalem, and there's a fellow there, and he's got all these. It was what made it a little more ironic as well. He'd gone through the, where you buy the stuff that's the duty free, and he just had several bags of bottles of vodka. And, he said, hey, you know, I don't know what's going on. He says, I don't know what in the world's going on. It seems like it may be the end of the world. And, I told him, I said, no, this isn't the end of the world, but I said, you know, Jesus can come back at any moment, and, you better be ready. And, he just kind of then turned to his friend and started talking to him again.
I think.
Probably thought I was crazy, but yeah, I just wanted to be sure and tell him that, hey, you know, there's only one way, to get out of here when the world does end, and that's through Jesus Christ. But no, and I think that just highlights to me that a lot of people are asking a lot of questions right now, and mm-hmm. we have answers for people. We don't know everything.
Yeah.
But we have some answers we can give people, and this is an important time for us to have a sense of urgency and leverage the times in which we live to answer questions people have. And that's part of the reason I wrote this book.
Yeah, and I'm confident this man is not alone in wondering, what is this world coming to? I mean, we have witnessed a shakeup in this world like never before.
No, that's true. It's global. I think there's, about 195 countries in the world, and by last spring, early into the spring or late spring, we were up to about 187 countries, I know, at one point in time. So, this thing, mm-hmm. Lapped around the world and crisscrossed the world very, very quickly. And, it shows us today how fast these things can happen, how quickly the world can change.
Right.
That's one of the things I think we've all seen is, things in this world can turn on a dime very quickly.
You have authored the book Corona Crisis, Plagues, Pandemics, and the Coming Apocalypse. Do you believe pandemics will have a role in the end of days?
I do, yes. That's what Jesus said in Matthew 24, the sermon Jesus gave a couple days before he died on the cross. Jesus talked about the signs of his coming. His disciples asked him, what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? And in that passage and the parallel passage in Luke chapter 21, Jesus gives signs of the times, and he mentions a lot of things, but among those things, he mentions famines, he mentions earthquakes, and then he says there'll be pestilence in various places, or plagues, or pandemics. And so Jesus is telling us that one of the frightening features of the end of days will be plagues, and he says in various places. So they'll be like pandemics. In other words, they'll be all over the place. And so from that passage right there, we know that these pandemics, these plagues play a role in the end times. And then also over in the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 6, we have the what are called the seal judgments. Jesus, there's opening these seals in the end times. And there's the first four of those are called the four horsemen of the apocalypse. And there's a white horse, a red horse, a black horse, and then a pale horse, a pale rider. And he says there, Jesus does, that a fourth of the earth is going to be killed in that fourth judgment, the pale rider, by sword, by famine, and then he says by pestilence or plagues. And then he adds this kind of interesting statement by the wild beasts of the earth. I know we'll probably talk about that later. But mm-hmm. those are two clear passages that speak of kind of global plagues or pandemics being a key sign or a key factor in the end of days.
Is the coronavirus itself prophesied in the Bible?
No, I don't believe it is. Again, some people will try to always find everything that's happening in the world in some direct prophecy, mm-hmm. but there's nothing specifically about this plague, really, or any other one, other than those ones mentioned at the very end of time.
Dr. Mark Hitchcock, our guest today, you mentioned in your book, Corona Crisis, that in these unprecedented times, we need double vision. What do you mean by double vision?
Well, we need to see what's up close. We've all taken a lot of practical steps of washing our hands. I mean, people wear masks and social distancing and all of those things. We need to keep things that are up close in our vision. And we need to do the things that we're called upon by the Lord to do every day in our lives. But we also need, to have a one eye on the future, if you will, kind of on the horizon.
Hmm.
We don't want to just be end time Christians where all we think about the end times and Jesus coming back. But we don't want to just be meantime Christians either, where we're just living now and for today with no sense of perspective of what's coming. So I think the balance for us as believers is to have kind of this double vision where we have an eye on the end time, but we also have an eye on the meantime, living daily with the things that God has called us to do. And I think when we do that as believers, it gives us a balance in this life, but it also gives us a perspective and a hope to live in this life as we look forward to the coming of Christ.
Chapter 2 in your book is called The Time of the Signs. Now, we often hear the phrase the signs of the times, and you mentioned that earlier, but you refer to the times of the signs. I take it that's not a typo, is it?
No, it's not. I think we live in the times of signs that are happening in this world, and there are many things happening in this world that I think are significant. Now, my view, and again, prophecy teachers, maybe you look at these things differently, but my view is that what we see today is not the fulfillment of prophecy. There are a few prophecies being fulfilled, but by and large, what we see is the setup. mm-hmm. kind of the stage setting. And so what we're seeing today are the foreshocks of what's coming. And so we do live in the time of the signs. There are a lot of signs, I think, around us that are proliferating that are part of the build-up or the stage setting for what the Bible predicts will happen in the end times.
As a matter of fact, you give in your book here four principles on discerning the signs, and I've just mentioned them and just have you give a brief comment on each of these, but the first you mention is seriousness, not sensationalism. Tell us why that's important.
Well, you know, some people see everything that happens as a sign of the times. You know, every earthquake, every, you know, disease that comes along, every famine, everything that happens is some great significant sign of the times. And, you know, you think about it like this. If everything's a sign, then nothing's a sign.
Hmm.
So we want to be serious about signs because Jesus said we should be looking for them. But we don't want to just go crazy on them and be sensational and make everything that happens a sign.
And the second you say is scripture first, not headlines. Do we sometimes live our lives by the headlines rather than the scripture?
Yeah, I think a lot of people do. Again, a lot of people are constantly looking at the headlines and seeing all these different events. And then what they do is I think they go and see a headline, and then they go to the Bible and try to find something that fits what's happening in the headlines.
Yeah.
But I think, again, the biblical way to do it is we look at everything through the lens of the scripture first. And when we know what the Bible says, then we can look at things that are happening in the headlines and in the world around us, and we can see how those things fit in with the biblical template. We have to keep it the right way. Don't look at it the wrong way.
So is there a little twisting that sometimes happens with scripture itself to make things fit?
Sure. It happens all the time. Mm-hmm. And again, a lot of people get very enamored with prophecy, and, you know, they're looking at every event that's taking place. You know, they'll find Donald Trump in the Bible. They'll find America in the Bible. They'll find everything in the Bible by twisting scripture. And again, if we start with the Bible and interpret it correctly, there are things happening that are significant. But we don't want to start with the signs and then look at the Bible. That's looking at it the wrong way.
So number three on your list is second coming, not the rapture. Define that for us. What are you meaning?
Well, the signs of the times that are mentioned in the Bible are for the event called the return of Christ, when he's going to come back to the earth. I believe that the coming of the Lord, the second coming, is going to happen in two phases. There's a rapture of the church to heaven when he comes for his saints. And then at least 7 years later, there'll be the return of Christ back to earth when he comes with his saints. And my view is that the signs that are mentioned in scripture are for the return at the end of the tribulation period. They're not for the rapture. I think the rapture is a signless event that can happen at any moment. But if we can think about it like this, if the signs are for the return, not the rapture, and we can already see the signs of the return and the rapture hasn't happened yet, then that indicates the rapture must be pretty soon.
Hmm.
So I think that's a way for us to look at this. The rapture is an event that can happen at any moment. But if we're already seeing the signs of the return and we haven't experienced the rapture, then to me that's an indication that we're pretty far down the road from the stage being set.
And that's number four, stage setting, not fulfillment. And friends, as you've heard Dr. Jimmy DeYoung also on this program, who has said the stage is being set for Bible prophecy to be fulfilled. We're going to take a quick 60-second break. We'll come back then with a further discussion with our guest today, Dr. Mark Hitchcock, author of the book Corona Crisis, Plagues, Pandemics, and the Coming Apocalypse. We'll also tell you how you can obtain a copy of the book, so stay listening. This is Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, what were the flying dinosaurs?
Chris, the flying reptiles like the pterodactyls were not really dinosaurs. By definition, dinosaurs walked on land with bones different from the flying reptiles. But they're often in the same discussion, usually as being huge reptiles from the great age of reptiles. Of course, I disagree with the term age of reptiles. I think all animals were created during creation week, flying animals on day 5 and land animals on day 6. But, you know, there's a lot of evidence that these flying reptiles lived at the same time as humans. Sober historians of yesteryear describe such beasts and even drew pictures of them. And the American Indians even drew pictures of the Thunderbird, and their drawings are similar to the Pteranodon. Make no mistake, Chris, the evidence fits the back-to-Genesis truth of recent creation of all things.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
We'll be right back.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. With us today, Dr. Mark Hitchcock. He has authored multiple books dealing with Bible prophecy, but one we're discussing today of great significance to what we're all experiencing is called Corona Crisis: Plagues, Pandemics, and the Coming Apocalypse. I just want to say here before we get back to Dr. Hitchcock that this book, Corona Crisis, Plagues, Pandemics, and the Coming Apocalypse, newly released. It's one of the featured books of the month this month at our VCY bookstore. The book came out retail for $15.99 plus shipping and handling to many different locations. However, as a book of the month and the VCY bookstore making it a special, they made a special arrangement with the publisher, and they are offering this book through June 30th at 60% off. They want to get this in your hands, so through June 30th, they're offering the book for $6.40 plus any applicable tax and shipping. And we encourage you folks to consider getting multiple copies so you can distribute this with others. But just a tremendous resource, and it's available at going to the website is the quickest way, vcy.com, vcy.com, or 1-888-722-4829 is the number. But again, keep in mind, this ends on June 30th. And that's why you can take that special incentive, a brand new book, getting it into your hands. It's a message that needs to be heard. And you can call the bookstore 1-888-722-4829. If you get a busy, just wait and call back. They're open till 6 Central, but they have just a single line going in there. They'll take the calls as they come in. 1-888-722-4829 or vcy.com. And I know, Dr. Hitchcock, you really want this book to get out there.
Well, we do. It's got a strong evangelistic appeal at the end, very strong, and it's just going to help people understand the Bible. And you know, anytime you can take something that people are thinking about and is on people's minds, and you can relate that to the Scriptures and give people confidence that there is a God who knows the future and has everything under control, and give people the good news of the gospel, that's a win all the way around.
Amen. Amen. But you say that the road to apocalypse is lined with signs. What are those signs you're talking about?
Well, there are many of them that Jesus gave. You know, when you think about signs, I look at today kind of the main sign in our world is the regathering of the Jewish people to their homeland. It started, you know, way back in the late 1800s, but really in earnest in 1948, the rebirth of the modern state of Israel. 6% of the Jews in the world were in Israel at that time. Now it's over 40%. And almost all the other prophecies hinge in one way or another on Israel being in their land. So that's a major sign, a major signpost.
Mm-hmm.
You also have the prophecy of Ezekiel 38, where a group of nations are going to attack Israel in the end times. And if you look at those nations in the Bible, the modern counterparts, it's Russia, Iran, Turkey, Central Asia, Sudan, Libya. These are all Islamic countries who hate Israel other than Russia. And, you know, you have Iran and Russia right now in Syria, right on Israel's northern border. So we also see globalism. And really, the coronavirus has highlighted globalism because in the light of this pandemic that's spread all over the world, people are calling for some global body, you know, to come along to kind of oversee all of this. There's all kinds of track and trace technology and contact trace technology to find out where people are. I don't think any of that is the mark of the beast that's spoken of in Revelation. But again, we can just see how someone can come along and kind of seize this globalism that we have today, this global world, and take control over everything. So these are the kinds of things that are happening kind of on a global scale that are part of the setup, really, for what's coming.
And actually, in your book, you use the term corona contractions. Is that what you're referring to in those things that you just described?
Well, you know, in that section, what I'm talking about is, you know, Jesus in Matthew 24 gives different signs, and he says, you know, these are the beginning of birth pains. And a lot of people look at the coronavirus pandemic, and they'll say, well, this is one of those contractions. I see the birth pains there in Matthew 24 is happening during the tribulation period. So I don't see what we see today as the birth pains of Matthew 24. But I read one writer, and I have the quote in the book, but one man said that what we're seeing today are kind of like the Braxton Hicks contractions. People are familiar with those, you know, kind of the premature contractions before the real contractions come, that are kind of the foreshocks. are really of that. So that's the way I see what's happening today fitting in with the prophetic picture.
There are those who espouse that this world is just going to get better and better, but that's not the picture that Jesus presented there as you talk about those corona contractions. I ask this because you write, and you state this right in your book, times of almost unbelievable, unique calamity are on the horizon.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. I mean, the Bible, if you read about the coming time of, it's called the tribulation period. It's called the day of the Lord. It's called the time of Jacob's trouble. I mean, there's a time of great trouble ahead for this world. And it's kind of interesting because even people today who don't know the Lord and don't know anything about the Bible, I think can almost sense that.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like there's trouble ahead. And if you read Revelation chapter 6, beginning in that chapter through chapter 18, those chapters there give a frightening picture of this time of 7 years of judgment that's coming in the future called the tribulation period. Now, we don't know when that's going to start, but we can already see just the unrest and almost in some places the unraveling in our world today, and it's going to continue to get worse. Now, I always tell people I'm the ultimate optimist. I believe ultimately Jesus is coming back to rule and reign on this earth. So this world is headed for a time of unbelievable prosperity and peace in the future for those who know the Lord. But before we get to that time, this world is going to have to go through an unparalleled time of judgment. So when you read the book of Revelation, the end of the book of Revelation, it's the happy ending at the end of the story. The reign of Christ, the millennial reign, a new heaven and a new earth. But the chapters leading up to that before we get there are very, very grim, very dark chapters indeed.
Do you believe COVID-19 is God's judgment?
I don't know. I mean, we can't say, I don't think, because we do know that God has used plagues and pandemics in the past as judgment. You see that in the Bible, the plagues of Egypt. We see that with the Philistines back in the book of Samuel. God sent a plague upon them for their disobedience. Even sent a plague on his own people in the days of David, of King David. And also in the time they were in the wilderness. So God has used plagues and diseases in the past as judgment. And we know he'll do it in the future, because of Revelation chapter 6. But in all those cases, the Bible tells us, hey, this is from God. You know, this is directly from God. But today, with coronavirus, God never told us, hey, this is directly from me. Now, we do know that all sickness ultimately is the result of sin.
Mm-hmm.
Because we live in a fallen world. And that's the reason we have sickness and illness, is because of sin in our world. We live in a groaning creation. But that's different than saying, you know, this specific disease or pandemic is a result of some direct sin of this group of people or this nation or this individual. And since God hasn't told us that, I don't think we could say that. So, you know, I use an old maxim that where God speaks, we speak. When God's silent, we're silent. So we can't know that for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But we do know in the future, during the coming time of the tribulation, God is going to send a plague. A great plague against this world as a part of his judgment.
So do you believe that we as a world are ripe for God's judgment today?
Well, that's certainly true. And so, you know, if someone were to tell me today, hey, this is the judgment of God, you know, coronavirus, no one could argue whether we deserve it or not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it was Ruth Graham years ago, Billy Graham's wife, who said, you know, if God doesn't judge America, he'll have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, I think that's a pretty sage statement. But we're certainly ripe for judgment. And while I don't think we can say for sure that coronavirus is the judgment of God, what I think we can say at a minimum is it's certainly serving as a dramatic wake-up call.
Yeah.
To people everywhere. I think people are realizing how fleeting and how fragile life is, and they're looking for something solid. And fortunately, as believers, we have that. You know, the book of Hebrews tells us we have a kingdom that can't be shaken.
Amen.
And that's what we have to offer people.
Plagues and pestilences, they're not really common in our vernacular here in the United States. Those things happen someplace else. But you actually took a look back at plagues recorded in Scripture. You've mentioned them briefly here. We can't go through all of those individually, but what should be our takeaway? What should we be learning from the use of plagues and pestilences in Scripture itself?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, when we see these plagues and pandemics, you know, in the past poured out by God directly, they were judgment for sin. And they were on unbelievers, you know, in the case of the Egyptians, the case of the Philistines, but he also used them for his own people to wake them up. You know, when King David numbered the people, God sent a plague, and finally David prayed, and that's how actually the when David bought the place that's the Temple Mount today as a result of all of that, and offered an offering to God. But they are sent by God as judgment for people who are rebelling against him. And they're a wake-up call for people to turn to him and to repent. And they also show God's power. I mean, it shows God's power to be able to, you know, alter nature and control nature and to bring these things about. So if there's one thing we learn from, you know, plagues and pandemics that we know were the direct judgment of God, we know that God is not someone to be trifled with.
Dr. Mark Hitchcock, our guest here today on Crosstalk, you've got a chapter entitled Surviving the Stampede. What is your message for believers today? We're going to look, first of all, at believers and then our message for unbelievers. But what is that message for believers today?
Well, I think an important message for believers today is we need to maintain our perspective. When things like this happen, it can really throw us off. You know, it's hard to watch a lot of these things that are happening in our culture, and certainly with the corona crisis as well. But we need to remember that God sits on his throne in heaven, that heaven has an occupied throne. I mean, it's easy for us to kind of wonder if God's really in control of this. You know, we know he kind of controls most things. When things like this happen, we wonder, you know, is this maybe outside of God's control somehow? God's up in heaven, you know, kind of wringing his hands. And, you know, we always like to say there's never panic in heaven, only plans.
Hmm.
And, you know, the Trinity never meets an emergency session,
Amen.
You know, to try to figure something out. You
Amen.
Know, God knows what's happening.
Yeah.
We need perspective. We need just practical steps to take to live our daily lives in a way that pleases God. We need to pray. We need to be people of prayer always, but especially in times like this. We also need proclamation. We need to be proclaimers of the truth. We need to seize opportunities God is giving us to let people know the good news of Christ. And I think if a lot of us are really aware of what's happening around us and honest, we'll say, look, people seem a lot more open and transparent to the truth now than they've been before. And, you know, to really pray and ask God to give us opportunities to share with people around us the good news of the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And not to let this opportunity go to waste. You know, Rahm Emanuel was President Obama's chief of staff, and he once said, you know, you should never let a good crisis go to waste.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think we see the world does that, certainly politicians. You know, they seize on every opportunity they can to not let it go to waste, to kind of leverage that for their own agenda. But as believers, we want to do the same thing. We want to leverage these kinds of things for the gospel. And so those are some practical things that we can be doing, I think, during a time like this.
Again, folks, just to recap, it was perspective, then the practical steps that can be taken, pray, and then also to proclaiming the gospel. We're going to take a quick break here and come back and find out what is that message for unbelievers in such a time as this, those who have not placed their trust in Christ. Friends, you need to hear his answer, and we'll be back with that response here in just a moment. Also, we're opening our phone lines today here on Crosstalk. Our telephone number is 800-733-9829. For your calls today, for Dr. Mark Hitchcock, author of Corona Crisis, Plagues, Pandemics, and the Coming Apocalypse. Again, our number, 800-733-9829. Back in a minute. This is Crosstalk on VCY America.
Our society is being influenced by the entertainment media, and we don't even realize it. Why is it that many Christians entertain themselves by watching movies or programs that take God's name in vain, or feature sensual activity on Saturday night, and then go to church on Sunday to praise His name? That's the underlying message in the DVD, Power of the Air by Dave Cristiano. This moving story features a missionary from Africa who warns that the church in America is being deceived and in great danger. A Christian that hears this message is convicted and makes a significant change in his life and sets out a plan to reach his city with the gospel. Watch this story unfold in the DVD, Power of the Air. Available now for a donation of $18, with additional copies available for a donation of just $10 more. Call 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on BCY America. Dr. Mark Hitchcock is our guest today. He's author of Corona Crisis, Plagues, Pandemics, and the Coming Apocalypse. Just a reminder, through June 30th, the bookstore, BCY Bookstore, has it reduced by 60% off. They're making it available for $6.40 plus any applicable tax and shipping. You can go to vcy.com, vcy.com, or call 1-888-722-4829, 1-888-722-4829. And again, it's one of those books. Get multiple copies to distribute to others. Dr. Hitchcock, we were talking about the message of this book. You've got that chapter, Surviving the Stampede. We talked about that message for believers today of perspective and taking practical steps, praying and proclaiming. What about your message to unbelievers, those who have not placed their trust in Christ?
Well, we've seen this pandemic out there that's spreading around the world, and certainly it's serious and all, but there's a greater pandemic that's always existed, or that's existed since the time of the Garden of Eden, and that's the sin pandemic. And that's a universal pandemic, and everybody's infected with it. Every human being's born into this world infected with the sin virus. And the bad news is there's no human cure. There's no human vaccine for it. The good news is that Jesus came and took the full force of that sin virus for us. And so if we trust in him, we can be cured, or we can get 100% cure from Jesus Christ. So we have a virus that's infected our soul. And Jesus took it all for us. He purchased a pardon for us when he died on the cross, a cure. And that we can receive that cure by trusting in him, by believing in him. I love the verse in Romans chapter 10 that says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.
Amen.
And we call upon him. We say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. And I believe Jesus is the Savior who died on the cross for me and rose again. And I trust in him and take him to be my Savior. And he'll take away that sin virus from us, and he'll cure us and give us eternal life and wash away our sins.
And that's why this book is so good to give away to someone who is not a believer in Christ. I mean, that last chapter, The Universal Virus and Its Cure, where you just lay this out in print and make a call for people to come to Christ.
Well, that's right. It's I think if someone wanted to give this book, then if you can get it that inexpensively, that's a good deal. Give it to someone. Again, a person would probably read this book that might not read another kind of Christian book.
Mm-hmm.
It's not real long. It moves along well, I think. But at the end, yeah, there's a powerful gospel appeal, a powerful gospel punch at the end for someone to have to come face to face with the real problem that infects their life and the only cure that's available for it.
Our phone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Let's begin in Spencer, Tennessee. Ed, you're on the air.
Yes, hello. I'd like to know if you believe that Christ fulfills the Feast of the Lord from the Passover, and the next one is the Feast of Trumpet. Do you think that Christ will fulfill the feast as the rapture?
I do believe Jesus fulfills those feasts. The fall feasts have been fulfilled. The four spring feasts, the three fall feasts remain. I take trumpets though there to relate to the second coming of Christ, not the rapture. Otherwise, people say Jesus has to come back on that day of the Feast of Trumpets for the rapture. Otherwise we could know every year once that day's gone, we'll say, well, he can't come back for another year. So, it would be a kind of a yearly thing where, every day that's the only day he can come. And also those feasts, when we read back in the Old Testament, they're called the Feasts of the Lord, but those feasts are really related to the nation of Israel. And now as the church, we participate in the benefits of them, but I see trumpets as being fulfilled at the second coming of Jesus back to earth, not the rapture. That's the view I hold.
Thank you for the call here, Ed. Our phone number to Crosstalk, and we've got a couple open lines here, 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. Todd is calling from Twin Falls, Idaho. You're on the air, Todd.
Matthew 17:11, Jesus tells all of us that he will send another prophet before the end times. He says, and Jesus, Elijah truly shall first come and restore all things. That's a future tense statement from Jesus Christ. So So it cannot be John the Baptist, because John the Baptist was dead at the time that Jesus said that.
Okay, Todd, do you have a question for Dr. Hitchcock here?
Yes, who is it? Who's the end-time prophet that Jesus said he would send us?
Okay, thank you.
It's Elijah. He says there he's going to send Elijah. I believe Elijah is going to come back. I believe he'll be one of the two witnesses that will come. Elijah is mentioned at the end of the book of Malachi. He's going to come before the great and terrible day of the Lord. Elijah and Moses are there with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. So I believe Elijah will really, he'll come back. You know, he didn't die. Of course, Moses died. He'll die twice. Elijah will die once. But that's who I believe it'll be. I believe Elijah is literally going to come back. Jesus said, you know, John the Baptist could have been that Elijah. He said, if you would have received him. But obviously they didn't receive him, so I think it'll be literally Elijah coming back in the end time.
Hmm. Thank you, Todd.
About that?
I'm sorry, go
ahead. Can I respond to that?
Sure.
It can't be Elijah because Jesus says that he's going to restore all things. Elijah, I agree that Elijah and Moses will come back and witness to the 144,000 mm-hmm. Jews. But there has to be somebody to restore all things and take us out of all the different denominations and get us back to the Bible.
Okay. Any further response, Dr. Hitchcock?
Well, you know, Elijah's coming in the end times. It doesn't say he's coming during the church age to restore everything in the church. He's going to restore all things. It doesn't say the time period of that. When you read Malachi, look at Transfiguration, those seem to be looking to the very end to me when Elijah's going to be sent back to restore, to pave the way for all of that. And so I don't see that I think he's saying he's got to come during the church age or something during this period of time. I don't think any of those passages indicate that to me.
Todd, thank you for the call from Idaho. Next to Trevor calling from Wausau, Wisconsin. You're on the air, Trevor.
Hi. I just wanted to see if you can try to restore some of my hope for the rapture because, you know, I've done research on both sides for the post-trib, and there's a lot of evidence that suggests that it is a post-tribulation rapture. However, with that being said, you know, I kind of lost a lot of hope in seeing Jesus return. Can you give me some hope? And how are you so sure that it's going to be the post-trib?
Or pre-trib. Okay, thank you.
Rapture.
Thank you, Trevor. Dr. Hitchcock.
Yeah, that's a detailed question. I can't answer it, obviously, here. It'll take a while. I'll mention, again, a book I wrote with a man named Ed Heinsohn. A couple of years ago, Ed and I wrote a book called Can We Still Believe in the Rapture?
We interviewed him on this program on that book. Go ahead.
Yeah, and we go into the detail, and we're not bashing the other views. We're not mad at people. You know, again, you have a different view about the timing of the rapture and be a wonderful Christian person. But anyway, that would be a good resource. But a couple of things. To me, one argument for pre-trib is just the idea of imminency, that Christ can come at any moment. You know, if someone believes in the mid-trib rapture, Christ can't come to the middle of the tribulation, or their post-trib, they can't get up today and say Jesus could come back today. They can't legitimately say that because we're not even in the tribulation, so half of it has to go by or all of it. And so it seems to me the way that the coming of the Lord, the rapture is predicted or presented in Scripture is that it's any moment. You ought to be looking for the blessed hope, you know, that we're waiting for his son from heaven, this idea that it can happen at any time. And so just the imminency idea is important. Another point would be that, you know, Jesus says that we're exempt from wrath, you know, from the coming wrath. The only way I know for us ultimately to be exempt from that wrath is to not be here. He says, you know, he's going to deliver us from the coming wrath. 1 Thessalonians 5:9, we're not appointed to wrath, but salvation. And another passage, Revelation 3:10, this is very specific. He says, I'm going to deliver you from the time of testing that's coming on the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Notice he doesn't just say, I'm going to keep you from the testing. He says, I'm going to keep you from the time of the testing. And the only way I know for us to be kept from the time of the testing is to not be here during that time. So those are a few passages I would use. But again, that book, Can We Still Believe in the Rapture? We interact with all the post-tribulationists, the best known ones, present their arguments, I think, fairly. And then we present our arguments. So I think if you were to read that book, that would be a big help to you probably in coming to, you know, what you believe is the biblical view about the timing of the rapture.
And by the way, that book is also available at the VCY bookstore at 1-888 1-800-722-4829. Thank you. Just one point I'd like you to address, Dr. Hitchcock, and you talked about being deliverance from the wrath. That doesn't mean that believers will not experience persecution today, correct?
Oh, that's right. We've always experienced difficulty and trouble. Jesus said it's through many tribulations, you know, small t, that you'll enter the kingdom of God. But there's a difference between that and God's wrath, the wrath of God himself. As believers and during this church age, we're not appointed to wrath. We're the bride of Christ. And in fact, it's interesting, all the views of the timing of the rapture all believe we're not appointed to wrath, because that's what the Bible says. But we have differences of opinion about when does the wrath start and what is the means God is going to use to keep us from that wrath. And as pre-tribber, I believe the whole seven-year period is God's wrath, and I believe the means God will use to deliver us from that wrath is his coming, the rapture to take us to heaven.
Our next caller is coming through as anonymous. Go ahead, you're on the air.
I get a question I'm struggling with a lot right now. With the churches and their fear of catching the virus while they're in church. And I just can't help but believe that my God is sovereign, and like with Job, nothing can come my way unless God allows it first. And this fear of catching the virus when you go to worship him in his house, it seems so wrong to me that I can't have faith in a God that can't protect me when I go to worship him in his house if I'm not going to put complete trust in him and know that at least when I go to his house, I'm safe. My father would never, you know, inflict me of this while I'm in his house, because I'm there for one purpose, and that's to honor and worship him.
Okay, let me have our guest go ahead and respond to that issue. And we also need to take into account, if I'm going to church, if I'm driving to church, am I thereby preempted from being in any kind of auto accident, collision, loss of life suspending my vehicle? Dr. Hitchcock, your response to this.
Well, look, God is sovereign. He's in control of all things. Our times are in his hands, but we're also given a brain and a mind to think things through. I mean, you know, when I get finished preaching at church every Sunday, this is even before COVID, first thing I do before I eat is I wash my hands, because I'm shaking a lot of hands at church, and a lot of hands got germs on them probably during the flu season and all those things. We're not exempt from catching diseases at church. I mean, my grandchildren go to the church I pastor, and, you know, they catch all kinds of things back there in the nursery. You know, those little kids, you know, coming in there. Think about this as well. Think about the places in recent months where someone has come into a church and killed people in a church. You know, people have come in with guns and killed people in the church. Well, I mean, God could have prevented that. You know, he could have prevented the people from doing that. But he allowed people actually come in the church and shoot people there. So if we have this idea that the church is a place that God will never allow anything bad to happen there, then I think we've got a real big problem, because, you know, people die in church. People have heart attacks and pass away during a service or whatever. So, look, we just want to be careful. We don't want to put God to the test. Certainly we want to go to church, and, you know, our church, we're using some social distancing and spacing and, you know, having stuff out there to clean their hands off with. But, you know, I'm not worried about it. I'm not living in fear. I just believe that we need to take practical steps as well.
Thank you, caller, for your call here today. We're going to take a quick break and fill out the last segment with more of your calls here today on Crosstalk. And Dr. Mark Hitchcock is our guest, author of Corona Crisis, Plagues, Pandemics, and the Coming Apocalypse. Back in a minute. This is Crosstalk.
For WorldviewReport.com, I'm Brandon House. So they're calling for ending police, defunding the police. Yes, there are some that want to do that. There are others that are more strategic, and what they're doing is they're pulling off the Hegelian dialectic process. Big fancy word, just means opposites fighting each other. Those who want police, those who do not. Those who want Marxism, those who want a constitutional republic. Those who are saying, let's end the police, are now supporting, encouraging, directly or indirectly, looting and rioting and burning, which causes most Americans to say, are you kidding? We need the police now more than ever. So what happens? There is a meeting in the middle with people like Ilhan Omar and other Marxists and Islamists. And what they're openly calling for in their own document, known as the Revolutionary Abolitionist Movement document, is neighborhood councils that oversee the police. And who do you think will sit on those? Marxists and Islamists. That's who will be overseeing your police. What kind of police do you think they'll hire? This is a Hegelian dialectic brainwashing operation.
Again, friends, during this month of June 2020, our VCY bookstore is featuring this book, Corona Crisis, Plagues, Pandemics, and the Coming Apocalypse, at 60% off, normally $15.99. They've got it for $6.40, plus any applicable tax and shipping, or those who are within driving distance. We've got a number of those who do. We can stop in and pick it up, but simply go to VCY.com 24/7. That's available, VCY.com, or you may call 1-888-722-4829. 1-888-722-4829. Now, if you'd like to be in further contact with our guest, he does have a website, which is marklhitchcock.com. That's marklhitchcock.com. And Dr. Hitchcock, I understand you'd put forth a regular weekly program or blog through there?
I do, yeah. I have a little, it's just 5 to 7 minutes. I keep them short. It's called Marking the Times.
Hmm.
And I answer questions people send in on my Facebook page and just talk about things that are happening and related in time prophecy. So anyway, some folks might be interested in checking that out.
Okay, marklhitchcock.com. Let's go to Chris calling in from Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Yes, I just wanted to call and basically support what your guest was saying earlier in the program as he was setting things up. he said, for example, Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21, these signs that Jesus mentioned, I believe, like your guest said, they are signs during the Great Tribulation. They are not signs pre-rapture. If you read, for example, Mark 13, 12, it says, now brother shall betray brother unto death, father to son, children shall rise up against their parents, shall cause them to be put to death. That's going to be when man of perdition is in power, and let's say there's a family, and the father and mother, the light goes on, they've made a mistake, they're going to flee somewhere, they're going to go and flee, and the kids know where they are, perhaps, and then they're going to, you know, then the authorities are going to come, and the children are going to betray their parents.
I tell you what, Chris, I know you've got a whole sermon there planned. Thank you for calling in and just reaffirming what Dr. Hitchcock has been saying here. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Connie in Milwaukee, you're on the air.
Hi, Jim. Thank you for your guest. Mm-hmm. I would like to ask your guest, do you believe that a person can be saved after the rapture, not talking about the Jewish people, but Gentiles? Do you believe that the Lord will still allow Gentiles to be saved during the tribulation?
Thank you, Connie.
Yes, Connie, I do. I think that's a good question. Yeah, there's going to be great revival during the Great Tribulation. You know, I think the rapture may be one of the great evangelistic tools in human history. And I say that based on the Bible. I mean, you look at Revelation chapter 7, in verses 1 through 9 there, you have, verses 1 through 7, you have a presentation of the 144,000 that are saved. But then after that, it mentions people from every tribe and tongue and nation. Clearly they're Gentiles. And it says there were so many of them, you can't number them. It says these are those who've come out of the Great Tribulation. They've washed their robes white in the blood of the Lamb. So these are Gentile people who were saved and martyred during the tribulation. Now, some Gentiles will live until the end, because when Jesus comes back, remember, there's going to be sheep and goats, and there's going to be believers and unbelievers when he comes back at his second coming, and many of those believers will be Gentiles according to Scripture. So, yes, people have an opportunity. Now, I always like to say to people, you know, they'll say, "Well, good, if I can have an opportunity after the rapture, I'll just wait." Well, first of all, you don't know if you're going to live till then. And secondly, it's not going to get easier to get saved after the rapture. It's going to get harder.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're not going to get saved now, there's not any guarantee you're going to get saved later. So, you know, now is the time of salvation.
Amen. And that's what Scripture says, that today is the day of acceptance. Today, the day of salvation. Thanks for the call, Connie. Kevin in South Dakota, you're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon. Thank you for your guests and your encouragement and your truth and what we're hearing. Jim, I guess a quick statement. I think of what we talk about here in the end times. We have the same blessed hope that our brothers and sisters in Christ and first century Christians that were Nero's lawn torches dipped in wax and set on fire. And yet we think we're going to escape, you know, this, whatever God has for us to use this. My quick question is, I guess, and thought is, Daniel chapter 7 talks about, and I don't remember which verse, talks as time, times, and a half a time, but in that same verse it talks about the saints. And I'm just curious, if that's halfway through the tribulation, the saints are still there.
Okay, Dr. Hitchcock.
Yeah, no, great question. Time, times, and half a time, I think it's 3.5 years. You know, time is one, times is two, and half a time is a half, so that's 3.5 years. I was talking there about the saints, but remember in the context of the book of Daniel, Daniel's writing to Jewish people, he's writing to Israel. The church doesn't even exist from Daniel's writing. So Daniel is talking there, I believe, about the saints. His view of the saints are Jewish saints, people who've come to faith in their Messiah during the end times. So clearly they'll be left behind at the rapture, but they'll be converted. Many, many in Israel will be converted during that time. And those are the saints, I think, that are being referred to there in Daniel 7. We have to be careful always to try to put passages like that in their context and know who the author's talking about.
Thank you, Kevin. In South Dakota, we're going to go to Dave in Bowling Green, Kentucky. You're on the air.
Yes. Actually, you cleared it up a second ago when the lady called. What I was wanting to talk about was when the man mentioned 144,000 Jewish witnesses. Actually, in the Bible, you know, it says 12,000 from each tribe of the house of Israel. So the 144,000 is not it. Actually Jewish witnesses. There's 12,000 of the tribe of Judah and 12,000 of each other tribe. But he cleared that up just a second ago, so that was just all I wanted to mention.
Okay, thank you. And Jerry in Racine, Wisconsin, we have less than a minute here. Hello, Jerry. Jerry, we got you? Jerry's gone. Okay, sorry about that. Dr. Mark Hitchcock, our guest here today on Crosstalk. Again, his website, marklhitchcock.com. We've got half a minute. Dr. Hitchcock, what thought do you want to leave with our listeners today on our issue?
Well, I just think, you know, with everything that's happening in our world today, with coronavirus, and we've had on top of this all the unrest and things that are happening, and you know, we need to remember that God is in control of what's happening. And again, I know that can sound trite or like a cliche, but that's really the hope that we have. We have a hope that he's coming back someday to rescue us and deliver us. And we need to be faithful to him until that day comes. So live in hope and live in peace and live in trust, but be doing what we can in the meantime as we're awaiting his coming.
Occupy till I come.
Yes,
Dr. Hitchcock, our guest, if you hold on the line here just a moment longer. And folks, again, a reminder here that through June 30th, Corona Crisis, Plagues, Pandemics, and the Coming Apocalypse is available at 60% off at the VCY bookstore. You can get the details at vcy.com or call the VCY bookstore 1-888-722-4829. But let's practice as believers in Christ. Let's have that proper perspective. Take the practical steps. Let's pray and let's proclaim. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.